This is Joe Basso from Music Radar, the place for music makers, and I'm speaking with blues guitarist Joe Bonamassa. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing great. The first question I have is, do people call you JB?
People call me Bonamassa.
There you go.
That's my name. That's like my nickname around here. People, you know, it's just a, you know, where's Bonamassa? I think it's cool. I like it. Actually, it's in my, it's like my BlackBerry Messenger name, too. It's Bonamassa. Well, you know, it's weird because there was a situation coming, you know, came up with my Gibson Les Paul signature guitar, where I wanted to do the serial numbers JB001 and up to 300. But there's another man who plays guitar for a lot longer and a lot better than I do that is doing a Gibson thing, I think, and he shares the same letters. So I had to opt with Bonamassa as my serial number, which I dig. I think it's way cool.
Now, who could this other JB be?
Well, now, I don't know who that is. Maybe Joe Basso. Who knows?
Unless they haven't told me something, I don't think I have a Gibson guitar. But
no, but it's like I said, you know, they have something out in Japan that's kind of a looks like, you know, a blow by blow guitar. So that's all I'll say.
Well, I'm from Jersey. I'm Italian. Well, I'll get on this for you.
That's cool. Yeah, we're good.
There you
That's
go,
right.
man.
That is a New Jersey number.
Let me move on to something else here, and that is the Music Live event that you're going to be doing in Birmingham, England soon.
I'm so excited about that. It's our first show back in the UK.
How do you feel about bringing the blues to the unofficial birthplace of heavy metal?
You know, it's actually, it's kind of strange. I mean, like, you know, I am categorized as a blues guy, and I am categorized as a blues musician, but I don't feel that, you know, I'm having to shove a square peg into a round hole,
right?
You know, because you know, my influences are so diverse, anything from classical music to Black Sabbath, you know, I mean, and to bring it into Birmingham, England, you know, terms. And to me, it's like, you know, I feel that, you know, anytime we can get up on a stage and play, that, you know, I feel like I'm in the entertainment business, not the blues business or the guitar business. And I feel that ultimately my job is to entertain those folks that show up to Birmingham, you know, the best as I can. And that's basically my job.
I'm curious, you're very steeped in traditional blues, but there are players such as Jack White and C6 Steve that are bringing blues, stretching the idiom in a way. What do you think of players like that?
Well, I like anybody who stretches the genre. I mean, but like Jack White and C6 Steve and you know, the guys from like the Black Keys and the North Mississippi All-Stars, I dig all that because, again, it's like, you know, we don't drive the same cars as we did in 1929.
Right.
But the concept of the car is the same. You know, it's like the concept of, you know, the horseless carriage getting you from point A to point B without having to hook horses up to wagons is basically the same. But, you know, my grandfather drives a Saturn, you know, and it's a fine automobile, and that's, you know, so to me, things evolve, but the concept of the music stays the same. You know, the concept of the blues stays the same, but now you just have, like, guys like C6 Steve and who's virtually unknown in this country, but very big in England, you know, and Jack White and the Raconteurs and the White Stripes, you know, and all those guys, I mean, really doing something new and different and fresh, and that's why the kids are coming, because, you know, the music's dangerous and kind of has an edge again, which is something that the genre has desperately needed for years.
Let's talk about your own Gibson, your Gold Top. How involved were you with the process?
I flew down to Nashville and basically designed the guitar from the ground up. I was very involved with it, and you know, I mean, I was going to do something like of that magnitude and you know, staff it out to somebody. I mean, it's like this is, you know, I don't plan on having a child or breeding, so this is like the closest thing I have to a child, which is, you know, that's why, you know, it was very hands-on.
You have played various guitars through your career. You've played Strats. What made you recently decide on the Les Paul?
Well, I've always played a Les Paul. I've had a Les Paul for probably 20 years. But, you know, I always, again, it's like the pictures that people choose to use in magazines and stuff like that. You know, it always was that bass boat gold Stratocaster. So people thought I was a Stratocaster guy. But I, in theory, only played that guitar two songs a night. You know, the rest was either a Les Paul or a 335 or a, you know, some kind of Tele. So that was the story about the Strat. I've always been a Gibson Les Paul user, even in the Bloodline days. But it was like, you know, I guess the music I've been writing in the last 4 or 5 years has really kind of like lended itself to the sound of the Les Paul. Me as a player in the last 4 or 5 years has lended itself to the Les Paul. I mean, I think I'm more of an economical player. I try to get tones now that are more, you know, bigger, rounder, you know, more, you know, human voice quality than that kind of strident Fender thing, you know. And it's like, you know, I've always strived to get those big, warm, you know, thick guitar sounds, even when I had a Fender in my hand. But I always find I had to, like, go through 85 steps in order to achieve it, which the Les Paul does that when you basically just plug it into the amp, you know. And it's like, takes a lot of the having to, you know, boost the preamps and roll the tone off the guitar. You know, I'm sitting there, one day, like, you know, I was just like looking at the telly and I'm going, why am I doing all this stuff to this telly to basically achieve what I can achieve with the Les Paul by just plugging in? And I'm just like, going, you know, I'm 31 years old and the road less traveled looks a lot more appealing than, you know, trying to go through 8 million devices to get it to sound the way you're hearing it in your head.
You started off very early, child prodigy, I guess we can call you.
Well, I'd say a kid who had a little bit of natural ability and a lot of competitiveness and wanted to work at it, you know.
But you're involved in a program called Blues in the Schools?
Yeah.
Tell me what that's all about.
Yeah, well, Blues in the Schools, you know, again, it's like 60% is like, I like to educate kids and enlighten them on a music that I am very passionate about, you know. And the 40% is going, I need those kids to come in my concert, you know, because A, you want to spread out your base, and B, you know, we've got to get a new generation of fans, you know, that call themselves blues fans, or else the music dies in 10 to 15 years. I mean, it's just, I've seen blues act after blues act after blues act just assume that the people are going to come out and then scratch their heads and wonder why there's 40 people. You just can't assume that. You know, it's like you have to, music business is different now than it was 10 years ago. You have to basically build everything from the ground up, brick by brick, fan by fan. And you have to go out there and shake each and every person's hand and say, thank you for coming, and look them in the eye and say, and actually mean it. You know, there's not the obligatory meet and greet, but the actual, like, I physically want to get my ass off this bus and go meet 50 people that are surrounding it right now, because there's, A, they've been standing in the rain, and B, I find it, I'm extraordinarily honored that they come every night, and I'm extraordinarily honored that not only do they come, but they bring their friends. And it's like, that's, the Blues in the Schools is all part of that, you know, that campaign of going, you know, it's retail politics, not to get overly MSNBC on you, it's retail politics 101. You just have to go out there and basically sell the name, sell yourself, and you have to go into schools and do that as well. I mean, it's just, that's really a part of it. And plus, when you can look a kid in the eye and go, hey, kid, do you like Led Zeppelin? Yeah, everybody loves Led Zeppelin. Everybody loves Jimi Hendrix. And, you know, and you go, well, if you've heard Jimi Hendrix and Led Zeppelin, then you've heard the blues. And they're going, no, that's not true. And I'm like, well, here, let me explain why. And it just, if it inspires them to go out and buy a B.B. King record, then I've done my job.
Can you actually look out and tell when you're connecting with a kid?
Yeah, you can. You could tell the ones that stay after. You know, it's usually out of 500, you get 50 to 100 that want to, like, actually come up and, like, hey, you know what? You know, I've been playing guitar, but all my friends like hip-hop, and I've always been kind of embarrassed to even talk about it. Thank you for coming to my school, and at least I have somebody to talk to about it. I mean, it's those kind of kids that you really connect to. And, you know, we've had kids that I've done blues in schools for, like, 7, 8 years ago come back and, you know, open up for me. They've organized their own band. They started the guitar and like, come back and open up shows for us. And it's like, you know, for an hour out of my day, and I have a gift to give anyway, so it's like, it's really no bother, you know. And it's important to know I do them for free, you know. It's all part of giving back, and it's not always about the money, even though some artists think that. But it's like, you do them for free, and like, I just this kid may make a career of it in music, and that's an hour out of my day changed somebody's life. I mean, that's pretty heavy stuff.
What is your opinion of the Guitar Hero and Rock Band games, which obviously are huge with the kids?
I think it's great. I mean, it's better than listening to old Aerosmith and old Zeppelin tracks and Shadows Fall and Dragon Force than being force-fed the crap that's on MTV right now. I mean, it's just like having Super Sweet 16 parties and Lil Wayne records that we have to endure before somebody wakes up and says, hey, you know what, at the end of the day, does any of this music have any lasting impact? Does any of this music mean anything? And is any of this music actually creating a positive impact on society? And I am a fan of some hip-hop, the really creative stuff, and I think it's really, really a great genre. But albeit, the cream doesn't always rise to the top there. And it's just like, I just think the imagery and the whole thing is, not to sound like an old man, but I just, you know, where's our Electric Ladyland of this generation? Where's our White Album and you know, Eat a Peach by the Allman Brothers? The answer is, there is none. Because the bands who actually can play get forced in the underground because there's no exposure and there's no means to get their music out other than going door to door and tacking flyers on, you know, telephone poles.
You obviously are known as a blues player, but you are a fan of many different types of music, as evidenced from your recordings, where you quote bands like Deep Purple and Yes in some of your songs. Obviously, yeah. You're a fan of prog rock. Do you ever see yourself making a non-blues album?
No, I don't foresee myself ever making a record that changes what I do. I mean, I think we've stumbled upon a nice formula here, and this is who I am. I don't like concept records in the sense where, like, well, I'm going to have to force myself to not play my normal, you know, or not do what I feel and comes to the top of my head. You know, it's like, I don't want to ever do Joe does, you know, standards records, or Joe does, not to be like a third person guy, but, like Joe does the entire score to the HMS Pinafore. I'm never going to do that. You know, I think ultimately.
So unlike an Eric Clapton who has done straight pop albums, you don't see yourself doing that.
I think it's always going to be a mixture for me. I mean, and I think Eric Clapton, because he is God and will always be God, can pull that off because he's that freaking talented, you know? I don't think I'm that talented enough to basically, you know, go one album's going to be pop and great pop, by the way, and then another album's going to be blues and great blues, by the way. I just don't think I have that in me. I don't think I have that inane ability to just, you know, jump from one bicycle to the next flawlessly and still maintain a level of quality to the album.